Welcome to part two of our SEC Championship special on the Savage Pads podcast. As always, I'm your host, Doug Battle. In this episode, 2014 Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year, Thomas Davis is joining the show to discuss his return to the NFL for a 15th season, the mentality that has enabled him to play some of his best football after three ACL surgeries, and his thoughts on this Georgia defense's opportunity to prove that defense wins championships. Thomas Davis is not the only former Georgia star joining us for this one. Former UGA and current Carolina Panthers running back Elijah Holyfield is also joining the show to discuss what he expects from the Georgia rushing attack against an LSU defense that he averaged 8 yards per carry against just a year ago. We've got a great one coming up. We've also got some free Chick-fil-A to give away. Stay tuned.
Practice every day.
Man, oh man. Mono a mono.
He definitely 6 hour miles, me and myself. As close as we have right now to rope on.
When we score, I honestly did not know where I was for about 5 seconds.
Early on, you could see with Jake, you know, just like with Fran talking to.
Maybe one of the most underappreciated quarterbacks in the country.
And we got to keep feeding the running back.
I don't think we've yet to see the tight ends.
I think Georgia does a great job of bringing pressure on third down.
Turn around 2 weeks later in the SEC championship, we look like a completely different team, and we made them look like a completely different team.
I mean, it's hard to get emotional thinking about it.
And it was my job to kind of get outside the corner. And
as soon as I let it go, I knew it was good.
From that point on, I kind of began to trust of Eric Murray as my quarterback.
The kid was just special.
Tyler Simmons, he was onside.
Everybody respects the specs.
That's what every Georgia fan should hinge their hopes on.
Alabama and Georgia are the best two teams in the country.
I feel like we are the true running back you.
I have great confidence that we're going to see the personification of Georgia football.
Welcome to the Savage Pads podcast. Thomas Davis is on the line. Thomas, thank you for joining us.
No problem. What's going on, Doug? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, and I want to catch our listeners up on how you're doing. Over a year ago, you announced your intention to retire from the NFL following the 2018 season, yet here we are in 2019. You're a top 15 tackler, and you're in your 15th NFL season. Can you tell our listeners what changed your mind ahead of the 2019 season and caused you to return for another year in the NFL?
You know, one of the factors that went into it, you know, I started last season on a 4-game suspension.
That's right.
For taking a substance that I didn't know that contained a banned substance. And, you know, with the way my career had gone at that point, you know, I had been a player that had tried to do everything the right way. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to walk away from the game on a sour note like that. And I still had the passion to play the game. I still love to go out and compete and play hard with my teammates. And, you know, as long as the passion was still burning inside, I was going to continue to try to do it. And, you know, fortunate enough for me, I had a few teams that were interested in my services, and the Chargers gave me that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure injuries probably played a part in your original decision to retire. It's well documented that you've overcome three ACL tears, that you once put a dislocated finger back in socket mid-play before making a tackle, and that you played in Super Bowl 50 with a broken arm. From a mental standpoint, what's it taken for you to maintain your level of play while injured and even following injuries?
You know, I think from a mental standpoint, you just look at it like you look at it from a standpoint of, you know, do I still have passion? Do I still want to do what I'm doing? And is the love for the game still there? And for me, after each thing that has ever happened to me, I've always had love to play the game. I've always been passionate about it. And I love to go out and compete with my teammates. And, you know, it was a no-brainer for me each time.
Mm-hmm. And those injuries are just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the obstacles that you've had to overcome throughout your career. And the way you've overcome obstacles has seemed to reveal that there's something more to you. It's evident in your approach to the game as well as your off-the-field endeavors. What would you say has driven you to become a man with a resilient mind as well as a heart for people and specifically underprivileged youth?
You know, without a doubt, the whole thing has been my upbringing. You know, growing up in Shelman, Georgia, and, you know, watching the struggles of so many people there, you know, I wanted to be an outlet or be that person that made it out of Shelman, Georgia, that showed all the other little kids that was growing up there, that it's possible to grow up and become something as long as you put your mind to it and you believe that you can do it. I just wanted to be that for them. And, you know, I've been able to do that over the years. And, you know, with that passion and that desire, I've been able to turn it into a 15-year career.
Okay. So you made it out of Shelman, Georgia. And the next step for you was the University of Georgia. How did your time there help to shape you into the man that you've become?
Man, that was the greatest period of my life, being able to go to Georgia, being a Georgia kid, always wanted to go to school there. And to go to Georgia and play for a coach like Mark Ritt, you know, that was tremendous growth for me to be able to play under his tutelage and play for a coach like Brian Van Gorder that motivated me every day to become the best player that I could possibly become. Mm-hmm. And when we set our motto of finish the drill, you know, once that was instilled in me, that's something that I've carried over throughout my entire NFL career. If you start something, you finish it. And, you know, I'm going to take that with me until the day I'm gone. I'm no longer on this earth.
Wow. Okay. So how has that affected you off the field?
You know, it's affected me in so many ways because there are so many things and so many different obstacles that I've had to face as a player, you know, on the field, off the field issues. But at the same time, it's all about finishing it.
Right.
You start it, you finish it, no matter what it is, no matter where obstacle comes your way. And there are going to be obstacles in everything that you do in life. As a football player, as a person, you're going to face different obstacles. It's all about how you approach it and how you take it on. And for me, I've always looked at things from a positive mindset. Mm-hmm. You know, I never really focus on the negative. It's all about looking at everything from the positive and staying focused on that and just making do of it what you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know this season, Georgia football fans have often tended to dwell on the negative instead of the positive. So I feel like there's no one better to talk to about Georgia's current situation than you. And here is the current situation. Georgia's 11-1. They've got a one-game shot at the college football playoff, and they've got a struggling offense, let's be real. Okay, but here's the part that often gets left out. Georgia's got one of the best defenses in its history, and they're still hungry. Thomas, in your experience from playing on great defenses throughout your career, what happens when an unstoppable force like this LSU offense meets an immovable object like this Georgia defense?
Hey, throughout my whole time of playing football, I've always been told that defense wins championships.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm a firm believer in the defense that we have at Georgia. Those guys have played tremendously well all season long, and particularly against the run. You know, I feel like if you make a team one-dimensional and you kind of force LSU's hand, now granted, you know, they've done a tremendous job all season long, you know, with mm-hmm. their quarterback and passing the football with the receivers that they have. And, you know, granted, their running back has done a great job all season, but they haven't faced the kind of defense that we have at Georgia. So hopefully, you know, these guys rally around each other, understanding that, you know, we have some receiver issues right now, you know, with Cager being hurt and mm-hmm. Pittman's being suspended for the first half of the game. Like, there are a lot of things that are against us right now, you know, and with Heather Swift potentially being injured. No one really knows the extent of his injury right now.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it's all about next man mentality. Next man up, got to step up and play big. You know, we have a ton of five-star, four-star recruits, and, you know, those guys have played some big-time football in high school, and now it's time for them to grow up. They've had a full season to grow up. You know, it's time for Sanders and some of the other guys to really step up and play big for us at receiver.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Thomas, this is my last question for you. Having overcome the odds of making the NFL as a two-star out of high school, the odds of making three Pro Bowls after three ACL tears, and the odds of leading an NFL team in tackles as a 36-year-old, what would be your words of advice to this UGA team that's looking to beat the odds themselves against an LSU team who is highly favored by the media?
Hey, for me, it's all about staying focused. You have to play the game. You can't let anybody on the outside determine the outcome of the game before it's even played. Stay focused, play one play at a time, play one quarter at a time until you play for four quarters, and let the outcome be what it may. But it's all about going out and putting your all into it and making sure that you walk away from that game knowing that you gave everything you could to your brothers on that field.
Absolutely. Well, Thomas, we certainly hope to see that on Saturday. And I know you're on a tight schedule over there, so I want to tell you that I appreciate you taking a moment of your time to join us, and that we wish you the best against Jacksonville on Sunday and look forward to watching you continue one of the best professional careers any Georgia Bulldog has had throughout the rest of your career.
Hey, I appreciate it. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs. I'll be a dog till I die. Till I die, till I die. All right. Now, former UGA running back Elijah Holyfield is on the line. Elijah, thank you for taking a moment of your time to join us.
I appreciate you, man. No problem.
Yeah. Well, Elijah, first off, I know our listeners have been wanting to hear from you about your life and career since departing Athens. Can you catch us up on your transition from UGA to the NFL and from Athens, Georgia to Charlotte, North Carolina?
It's been good so far, man. Getting a move out. It's my first time living outside of Georgia, so it's been a good experience so far. Just getting to see everything, and getting to work every day with great players and great coaches, and just getting better every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And the spot you're in, as far as football is concerned, is really not much different than the spot you were in for a few years starting out at UGA. How did those years playing behind Nick Chubb and Sony Michel shape you into a player that SEC defenses really feared last year?
I just tried to sit back and learn from those guys in front of me like I do now. With Sony and Nick, it's kind of similar to where Christian is with me, just watching them and learning so much from him. And then when it's my time to play, I hopefully can show those things that I've been able to learn over the time I've been waiting.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know you had a reputation for having one of the strongest work ethics of anyone on the team at Georgia. I'm sure growing up in the same household as a five-time heavyweight champion of the world may have had something to do with that. Can you explain to our listeners how your father, Evander Holyfield, instilled his work ethic in you?
I think I did it the same way. I kind of watched him. You know, he's not much of a talker or going to make you do anything. But if you watch him and you can understand why he has the success he has. So I'd say more than anything, just watching him was the way I learned best from him.
Yeah. And while we're on the subject of Evander, I just got to know, what's it like to hear guys like Snoop Dogg and Wiz Khalifa reference your dad in their songs?
It's always pretty cool. Whenever I'm listening to the music and it comes on, it's always pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, just as you had to wait your turn behind Nick and Sony, UGA has a few highly touted and potentially NFL guys waiting their turn right now, and James Cook and Zamir White. From having been around these guys for a season, what can you tell Dog fans about their work ethic as well as their patience in playing behind DeAndre Swift and Brian Herrien?
I think, they kind of know coming in. Everybody knows coming in you might not be able to play right away.
Right.
But it's the brotherhood of the running back, the running back room. Once you get there, learning from everybody, it's all love. And you learn that everybody's competing every day, but we all love each other and we're all helping each other get better. So, just being in that room for a year with those guys, I knew the work ethic's going to be instilled in them. And it was when I left, and I know it's only got better since I've been gone.
Yeah. Since you called it a brotherhood, are those guys that you've stayed in touch with as you've moved on to the NFL?
Yes, I talked to everybody still in the room, including Coach McGee as well.
Okay, cool. Well, with DeAndre Swift banged up going into this one, each of these backs may have an opportunity to contribute in big ways on Saturday. How do you expect Coach Smart and Coach Coley to split the reps at running back with their primary workhorse back a little banged up?
This is what we ultimately play for. If he's feeling good, I'm not really sure about anything about that. But if he's feeling good, I'm sure he'll get the regular workload. And at the end of the day, it's whoever's running the best is who they're going to get the ball to the most.
Yeah, yeah. You shared the backfield with DeAndre last season, while he seemed to battle quite a few injuries. Having witnessed the different injuries he played through in that season, what can you tell Dog fans about his toughness as well as his ability to perform at a high level while injured?
He's a very tough guy. We all pride ourselves on, being able to, being the toughest guys on the field, being able to work the hardest on the field no matter what. If we're out there, we're gonna give it our best, and that's what he always does.
Yeah. And Georgia had some early success running the ball against this LSU team last season. You were a big part of that with your truck play that I'm sure many of our listeners remember. But once LSU pulled ahead, offensive coordinator Jim Chaney seemed to abandon the run quite a bit, almost abandoning it altogether. How do you expect Georgia under new offensive coordinator James Coley to balance running the ball and passing against an LSU team that has the ability to run away with games once they attain a lead?
I think the run game will be a big part of it, just to control the clock and keep it away from their offense because they are very good. Mm-hmm. But I think we'll do similar stuff to what we've done all season. I don't think we'll get away from what we did just because we're playing, you know, LSU. We played in big games before, and they've coached in big games before, so I'm sure we'll stick to what we've done all year. And that's a big part of that is running the ball, and I'm sure that's what we're going to do again.
Mm-hmm. In that game last year, did the running backs, you and DeAndre and Brian Herrien, did you guys feel like you could have kept running on them successfully had you had the opportunity? Was there some frustration when the run game was abandoned a little bit when Georgia fell behind?
We always want the ball. You know, we always feel like we can do something with the ball. I know that's how DeAndre feels. That's how I feel. Mm-hmm. And Brian as well. So, you know, we always want the ball more no matter what part of the game, whether we're up or down. So I think they'll feel the same way. We feel that we're the best players on the field and we want the ball in our hands.
Yeah, absolutely. One last question for you, Elijah. Brian Herrien is a guy that came into Georgia with you, was not as highly touted as you were, and had to wait his turn maybe even more so than you did to contribute in a big way at the University of Georgia. What can you tell our listeners about Brian as far as his mentality in practice every week and his ability to always be fighting for that extra yard?
I think, you know, it comes from just how he was raised and how he's been taught all his life to fight no matter what. He's real tough. And like you said, he'll fight for every single yard, every single time. And he's done that the whole time. He's been there since I've known him. We battle all, compete against each other, and helped each other in so many ways. And that's how he's always been since the day I've met him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Elijah, we appreciate you taking a moment of your time to join us on the podcast. And we look forward to seeing you dominate in the NFL one of these days. Maybe a 1-2 punch there with Christian McCaffrey. But again, man, really appreciate you taking a moment of your time to join us.
All right. Thank you, sir.
And now it is time for Savage Pads Savagery with Corey Amick. Corey, during the Iron Bowl on Saturday, I know you watched it. Nick Saban was going absolutely ballistic on the sidelines. And I don't want to speculate. Corey, will you speculate on what you think may have triggered his tantrum?
Yeah. I love speculation. I think it makes the sport of college football that much better. So I think that a lot of things happened in Nick Saban's head during that tantrum. I think in that moment he was realizing this was probably the best thing to happen to college football since Sandusky was convicted. I think he realized Bama was being eliminated for the playoffs, and that we were not going to have to watch another Alabama-Clemson championship game. And I think Saban realized that for UGA, this was one of the better things to happen because it ensured a Gus contract extension, which means that for the next 4 or 5 years, we will continue to beat Auburn, and he will have to deal with, you know, the 8-4 9-3 Auburn team that loses to Georgia but then bounces back and beats Alabama at home. So I think he realized all that in the moment. And then going off that, you know, I'm a big, you know, Reddit fan. And the great Belk Bowl social media team started a poll on who everyone wanted to see play in the Belk Bowl. And if, for those not familiar, the Belk Bowl is normally like a 9-3, sometimes 10-2 SEC team against, you know, a similar record ACC team. And the number one leading, or whoever was leading the poll based on, you know, college football fans was Alabama. So I think, wow, you know, the fans want it. Everybody wants to see Alabama in the Belk Bowl.
Yeah, I would love to see that. First off, how many Alabama fans travel to, I believe it's North Carolina, Charlotte, for the Belk Bowl? And secondly, when Alabama wins that game, as it seems likely that they would, do they go on the podium and accept the trophy? Does Coach Saban put his hat on backwards? You know, are they showing it off to recruits? I don't know. I could definitely see the Alabama players accepting the trophy and literally throwing it on the ground because they literally had like an entire NFL team this year and didn't even make the SEC championship or the playoff.
Yeah, I think, like, as far as fans traveling, you know, maybe it would work out because, you know, most of their fans leave at halftime of their game. So maybe if they left at halftime of the Iron Bowl, like they do most of their games, I think they might make it to Charlotte in time for the Belk Bowl if, you know, they're walking because they either don't have a car or they can't figure out how to drive one.
Yeah. Wow. I really hope we get to see Alabama in the Belk Bowl. That would be a dream come true. And it's a win-win
for... I mean, for the players, yeah, for the players, imagine the cool, you know, $200 worth of swag they get to go buy from Belk.
Yeah,
I mean, who Belk. Wouldn't want that for this?
It's going to be a Belk Bowl for the ages if it happens. So we'll see what happens with Alabama. But now that Auburn has beaten Alabama, each of these SEC West foes are out of the postseason picture. And LSU is the SEC West team that Georgia has to worry about. So, Corey, I reached out to Coach Ed O to see if he'd give us his thoughts on the game. But surprisingly, I did not hear back from Coach Ed Orgeron. So I got to ask you, Corey, you're kind of our backup here. And we hope that you're the better backup, like the Alabama backups of old. But yeah. What do you think Coach O is telling his players going into this SEC championship game?
Well, you know, I don't know him too personally. We've, you know, had dinner a few times and we spent Christmas together a few years ago. But
okay.
My best guess is, you know, something along these lines. And,
well, first of all, I'm just so proud of the players. It's so impressive every day. Ready to work. Always throw some gumbo. This is a great opportunity for the state of Louisiana. People think all we have is swamps and casinos. But down here we got another part of the Trinity. Good old football. So, we're going to go out there. We're going to play our game. Good, hard-nosed football. And I'm just so proud of these players representing Baton Rouge, the best city in the United States of America, and the way they do it. Go Tigers.
Wow. Yeah. I feel like he probably would say something like that. As a former D-line coach, Coach O is someone who really knows that football games are won at the line of scrimmage, just like Kirby Smart knows that. What do you think Coach O is telling his players about these Georgia offensive and defensive lines?
I think he's saying like this. Like,
all right, they're big, they're fast, and they're strong. But you guys in Louisiana, big, fast, and strong. So we're going to take them to the swamp. No one wins a trench fight like LSU when they fight in Louisiana swamp conditions. And you know what I tell every single one of these players' mamas? You know what I tell them? I tell them, I'm going to be your mama's best friend. I look right in the eye and say, I'm going to be your mama's best friend. You want to know why? Because I'm going to take care of these players like I'm their daddy. And I tell every single player, every single recruit that, and that's why they come play in the great state of Louisiana. Go Tigers.
Wow. Kind of makes me want to go play there. Can see why these guys are flipping their commitments with such a compelling speech like that coming from him. So, Corey, last question regarding Ed O. His team's a shoo-in for the playoff, whether they win or lose the SEC championship game. Some have questioned whether they will have the same level of motivation as this Georgia team does, because Georgia's in a win-or-go-home situation. What does a guy like Coach O tell his players to motivate them ahead of what may feel like an exhibition game for them?
That's tough. It's hard to really get in that guy's head, but, you know, I'm guessing it'd be like,
playoffs? We're talking about playoffs? Playoffs? I heard that on that Sports Center channel one time. Look here, boys. No mercy. Every time we take the field, we show no mercy. It's just like when my wife makes me a mean bowl of gator soup and jambalaya. I don't show 1 ounce of mercy on that bowl of soup. Go Tigers.
Corey Amick, everyone. And that concludes our SEC Championship special on the Savage Pads podcast. I did mention before that in the season of giving, we are giving away some free Chick-fil-A to our listeners. All you got to do is follow us on Twitter and retweet our pinned tweet. There's a tweet at the top of our account mentioning that we're giving away free Chick-fil-A to the Beachwood and Barnett Shoals locations to 9 lucky listeners. Retweet that one. Follow us on Twitter. We are drawing winners on Monday. May the odds be ever in your favor, and may the odds be ever in the dog's favor. If you're going to the game on Saturday, A, let me know if you have an extra ticket. As always, I promise I'm really fun to go games with, and I will be the loudest person there. B, be safe. represent the Dogs well, and be loud. We have the opportunity to be the 12th man at the Benz. Let's give our Dogs an advantage on Saturday. We appreciate you all listening to our show, and we look forward to making one more for you, or possibly two more for you between the Dogs bowl game and a potential national championship. Thank you again for listening. Be safe on your drives to Atlanta, and go Dogs.